Right. We're excited to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Why don't you give God a 10-second praise real quick? If you're like me and you say, man, I could be a lot of different places. If you're like me and you say, I could be a lot of different places today had it not been for the goodness of God, had it not been for the Lord who is on my side, I could be dead, I could have overdosed, but Jesus had a different plan. Is there anybody in this place that says, Lord, I'm thankful. Lord, I'll praise you through my mask, Lord. I'll still lift up a shout and a praise to the King of Kings. Come on, go there with me for just a moment. I'm so thankful to the Lord for my salvation. I was lost and bound, drug addicted, and I needed Jesus bad. And Jesus saved me, transformed me, delivered me. That is the truth, and I am so grateful. Blessed me with a beautiful wife, beautiful church, two beautiful daughters, Winter and Summer. We have a video of them, actually, that I want to show you guys just to catch you up with the girls. You guys got that video ready? These are my two daughters right here.
What is going on? Oh! Everybody okay? Everybody okay? Whoa, hey, this
and that's
cool.
Where we had to stop the video. The rest got a little crazy. So I'm thankful for my beautiful wife who's at home watching, taking care of the girls. I would not be able to do what I do if she didn't have my back. And not only that, but she's a preacher herself. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. I had her get up and share a testimony when I preached a few weeks ago. And that was awesome. I'm thankful for Bishop, PK, Mama Cal, all of the staff here that are allowing me to minister this morning, because they don't take this pulpit lightly right here. This is something that's special, and I never take it for granted. So let's dive right into the word. Last night I was in Hollister, and I have never seen a five-year-old, six-year-old kids at the altar broken crying. I've never, usually they're talking and they're kind of distracted, but they were at the altar broken in the presence of God. Praise God that he's raising up a remnant, raising up children that love Jesus. Come on, somebody. I give you this testimony because many of you have been praying for your children, your grandchildren, and God is doing it. Come on now. Father God, we thank you this morning for this word. I pray, God, that every word that comes forth, God, would be straight from you. Challenge us and let your word go forth with clarity, authority, and power. In Jesus' mighty name, we all say. I want to honor my grandmother who's actually here as well. I'm so thankful that my grandmother came out and she raised us in the Lord along with my mother and my dad. But my grandmother is a praying grandma. So I'm glad you're here this morning, Grandma. The title of my message, this morning is It Just Got Personal. Somebody tell the person next to you, it just got personal. How many know when somebody talks about your mama? Right? There's a line, right? Somebody talks about your mama, it gets what? It gets personal. And I was studying this message. Reading in 2 Timothy, and the Lord just began to share with me something about my generation. I'm not going to preach for all generations, but I could preach to my generation. I feel like we could do that this morning. And in my generation, a lot of times, the things of God are not personal anymore. Anybody catching me right now? The things of God, they don't really cut deep anymore. Like, church is a thing that we'll even go to sometimes and show up and we'll watch it online. But the fruit of a real relationship with Jesus Christ is not evident in our lives sometimes. And I want to share this morning that we need the things of God. We need the word of God to get deep down in our soul so we can be like trees planted by the riverside and say, God, we will produce fruit for your kingdom. We won't just show up once a week. We're not going to just watch online. We are going to let the word of God take root in our hearts. And as long as it doesn't get personal, in other words, as long as your Christianity doesn't cost you anything, Christianity that doesn't cost you your sin, Christianity that doesn't cost you your compromise, Christianity that doesn't cost you your flesh, we need to ask ourselves if that's Christianity at all. And when I read the word, the more that I read the word, PK, I read the disciples, I read those that followed Jesus, and I read that there was a heavy cost to following Christ. There was a heavy cost to following Christ. 11 out of the 12 disciples were martyred for Jesus. Peter said, you should hang me upside down. I'm not worthy to die like him. There is a cost to the gospel. But we shouldn't be afraid of cost. We shouldn't be afraid. It's funny how we'll pay a lot for other things that mean a lot to us, but then we won't pay so much for spiritual things. Man, I'm ready to pay for spirit. I'm ready to lay my life down to build the kingdom of God. How many know that's a great cost we can pay? How many know he's worthy of that cost? How many know we're only giving back to him what he first gave us? How many know we need to let this thing get personal? Am I preaching you this morning? Just shout amen if I'm preaching you. Amen. First service was smaller, but they were ready, so let's match that, amen? And I'm going to be preaching this scripture that Paul is speaking to Timothy at the end of his life. How many love Apostle Paul? Apostle Paul built churches. Apostle Paul, mighty man of God. We read about him. He's been through trials and tribulations for Jesus. He's been through shipwreck. He's been through prison. And he stands firm in the things of God. Some of you guys can relate with this right now because spiritually, you feel like you're going through shipwreck. You feel like spiritually, I've been in prison. Spiritually, I've been going through these things. But you are standing strong in the faith. I am want to say right now, I am proud of you. I want to edify you and tell you to keep fighting the good fight. I want to tell you to continue to endure hardships like a good soldier. Endure hardships like a good soldier. And he's at the end of his life here, and he's saying these last few words. This is his last sermon. These are his last words. And how many know these are important words when it comes to your last words? My grandfather, who passed away last year, the last words that he told me, I held on to them. And I remember him telling me, grandson, just keep preaching the word of God. I'm so grateful for my grandfather. I'm so grateful for those in here that have raised your children in the Lord. I'm so grateful for those that have been praying for your grandchildren. My grandfather said, keep preaching the word of God. He didn't say, keep preaching your opinion. Come on, somebody. He didn't say, just keep relying on your gifting and your talent. He said, keep preaching the word of God. Why? Because he knew that this is what's going to transform a generation. Am I preaching to anybody that knows we still need to open up the word, read the scripture, and lean on the word of God? He says, preach the word of God, grandson. So that's what I came to do. Come on, somebody. And my bishop always told me to leave it all on the field. And if you're not familiar with sports, that means that you pour everything you can out on the field that day. When it's game day, you leave it all out there. You walk away with no regrets. I might have made some mistakes, but I gave it 100%. I flew all the way in from Texas to give it 100% this morning. It's okay. You don't got to clap because I'm preaching right now, and I'm just going to give God everything I got because we got to learn to give God everything. Somebody say it just got personal. And Paul is writing to Timothy, and I believe what he's doing is he's getting his ministry in order, right? He's getting his ministry in order for Timothy to continue the ministry, the passing of the mantle, right? The passing of the mantle, and he's starting to preach to Timothy because he knows he's on his way out. And he says, Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother, come on, Lois and your mother Eunice. I love that Paul is honoring the legacy that Timothy comes from. I believe what he's telling Timothy is you didn't get here on your own. Don't ever think you got here on your own. You need to pay some honor to those that have gone before us, to those that have labored. Come on, I came to preach to the Paul generation and tell you your labor is not in vain. You prayed for the next generation and now the next generation is rising up. Your labor is not in vain. You prayed for the next generation to rise up, and I believe God is doing it. I seen it last night. So many youth, I'm talking so many youth at the altar, and they all came up and they're lifting their hands to Jesus. And the parents came up behind them and prayed for them at the altar. And the whole family's broken. Come on, somebody. And Paul begins to say, the faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. Come on, somebody. And I am persuaded is in you also. He's reminding him of his DNA. How many know we got a good spiritual DNA? Same way we got DNA, like the family we come, we got spiritual DNA too. I'm thankful for my spiritual DNA. I have a good spiritual father that raised me in the things of God, that raised me to do the will of God. I have a good spiritual father that raised me up to know my word, to lean on the word of God. I remember going through internship right here in the room back there. And I remember preaching. We do practice preachings. And I remember I preached and I was like, I killed that. Like, that was good. And I was feeling all good. And look how good of a spiritual father Bishop is in front of everybody. Come on, somebody. An open rebuke is better than hidden love. That's in the word. He says, you know, you did really good. And he goes, and you preach really good. He goes, and that's why I'm scared for you, that you would start to rely on your gifting instead of relying on the Holy Spirit. Oh my goodness, I went home that night. I'm like, God, don't ever let me rely on my gifting just because I can speak good. I need the Holy Spirit on everything that I'm saying. I need the anointing of God to flow on my life. And it caused me to depend on the Holy Spirit. It caused me to depend on Jesus. That spiritual DNA taught me to lean. Let me say lean. Like a cholo, lean. Some of y'all lean like a cholo in the world, and now you got to lean on Christ that way. Lean on Jesus that way. Dependency. Dependency on the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I go places and people come up to me and I wish I could speak like you. And I go, I got one thing going for me. I just depend on the Holy Spirit. Because if I was just using my gifting and there was no oil on it, trust me, I wouldn't be doing this. I need God to transform lives. I need to see real fruit. Come on, somebody. Is there anybody in this place that has been asking for souls, for God to use you in your generation to do something? Or are we asleep? Let's continue. He says this, therefore, I remind you, Timothy, stir up the gift. Somebody say, stir it up. Stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. But of gifting? But of, and I'm preaching this, you might be wondering why I'm preaching this. It's because a lot of times I see in my generation, gifting is overvalued and character is just overlooked. Let's just let them speak, let's let them preach, let's let them sing because they're talented. But do they have a relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Are we making disciples? Are we teaching the next generation like Paul is teaching Timothy to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit? Listen to me, Timothy generation, young people in here. I'm 25 and I want us to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. And Paul's telling Timothy, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. We still need the oil. Come on, somebody. We need the oil. The oil is the anointing. Come on, somebody. How many know the oil makes things slippery? That's why you walk into your job, you walk into your school, and if you got the oil, those chains that are on your coworkers will begin to slip off. They won't even, you got that sneaky anointing. That oil on you begins to flow to your coworkers, to your friends, and the chains begin to slip off of them. They don't even know what happened. Why? Because you have the power of the Holy Ghost on you. You got the power of the Holy Spirit on you. And I'm afraid, PK, sometimes my generation, we got the fog machines. We got the nice lights. We're gifted. But chains aren't falling in the services. Souls aren't getting set free. Why? Because a gifting can fill the room, but the anointing breaks the yoke of bondage. We need the anointing in the room. We need the anointing in the room. We need the anointing. We need the Holy Spirit to fall, to come and transform us and change us and deliver us and set us free. And Paul's telling Timothy, I know you're new school, Timothy. This is young T, his young protege in ministry, his spiritual son. And he's saying, I believe what he's saying is, I know times have changed and you preach in your Jordans now. Times have changed, man. Just come casual. And that could be cool, but there's some things that should never change. And one of those things that should never change, Timothy, Paul's saying, one of those things that should never change, Timothy, is that you rely on the Holy Spirit. You rely on the power of God. You rely on God. You let God use you. I say in one of my songs, give me souls, lest I go and start to cancel these flights. I'm going to preach the gospel every time they hand me the mic. Look, I don't got no time to waste. People living like they got all kind of days. Tell the devil it's outside. I need a time and place. Front line soldier, be the first on the field. I got Goliath's blood all submerged on the shield. If they want me to renounce, I'm getting murked. That's for real. Just tell them Jesus Christ is who I served if I'm killed. Yeah. And I say, give me souls. Let's not go and start to cancel these flights. Because I need to rely on the Holy Spirit. And he says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, Timothy, nor of me his prisoner. He's saying, don't be ashamed of me, because Paul the apostle was an apostle, man of God, but he was in prison. So a lot of people would leave him. You call yourself an apostle, but you're locked up, they won't let you out. Mike's like, yeah. You call yourself an apostle and you're locked up. How can that be? But how many know our current circumstance don't always define us? How many know our bank account don't define how rich we really are? There's been times when I'm broke, but in the spirit realm, I'm filled with the anointing. I got spiritual riches that the world can't touch. Some of us might have lost our job during the pandemic. Let me tell you, your bank account don't define you. God defines you. You are still royalty. You are still a child of the Most High God. Don't let your Can I preach it like this and say, even when you had the job, that wasn't your source? Even when you had the job, that wasn't your source? God was just funneling the funds through the job to you. It was all from God in the first place. That's why some of you guys don't even know how you made it through the pandemic with no job. You don't even know how the bills were paid, but you're still here, baby. You're still praising God. You still got food on the table. You still got food in the cover. I don't know how we did. Where did it come from? I don't know, but God did the impossible. When man says it's impossible, God says it's possible. Tell the person next to you, say, you made it. Say you made it. And this part leaped off the page when I read this, because I believe if we're going to continue, like Paul was telling Timothy, to continue to do the work and build the kingdom, I believe if we're going to continue to do the work and build the kingdom and lift up Jesus, I believe we're going to need to be partakers. Somebody say partakers. You're a partaker in the world. Shall we partake? Now come and be a partaker of the things of the Lord. Come on, somebody. Come and be a partaker and share in the fight with the pastors. Come and be a partaker and share in the fight with your brothers. I was that dude in the world. I was that dude. I liked to fight a lot. And I would show up to the fight and I wouldn't even know who's who. And I'd get in there and start throwing blows. Who we fighting? I don't know. And then when I came into the kingdom, man, I want to fight for God's kingdom the same way. When I see my pastor struggling, when I see my brothers and sisters struggling, put me in the battle. I want to be a partaker. I want to throw hands. Come on, somebody in this place. Am I preaching to somebody? Even to the Paul generation that may feel like, man, I've been serving the Lord 30 years. What more can I do? PK, Caleb said, give me my mountain. Oh, man, you got to release that word right after this again. Caleb, at the age of 80 years old, said, give me, you know what he was saying? Give me another round. You know when you're watching the boxing fight and then the fighter gets knocked down and then they have to show themselves that they're ready to go. And the doctor's like, are you good? And he's still just trying his best. And they got to show some type of coming forward. They got to show that they want to keep going. And some of us have gotten knocked down by the pandemic. Some of us have gotten knocked down in marriage. Some of us have gotten knocked down in this season. But if you would get up and just begin to tell the Lord, I got another round. Don't throw the towel in for me yet. I'm not done yet. I still got a ministry to go. I still got a dream to accomplish. I still got a grandson, a granddaughter that needs Jesus. Come on, somebody in this place. Tell the person next to you, say, give me my mountain. At the age of 80, give me my mountain. Give me my giant. I welcome the Goliath. I welcome the Goliath in my life. I welcome the giants that are rising up to steal my joy. I welcome the anxiety that has been rising up to steal my peace. Bring it on. If you're going to choose to step in the ring with me, like Paul says, I have fought the good fight. You ever pay for a pay-per-view? You got the fight already, UFC, whatever, boxing? Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm the only. I get convicted right after I watch the fights, too. Especially if somebody gets knocked out. I'm like, oh, man. I start praying, interceding for their family. Michelle's like, it's okay. It's okay. Just happy. They got paid. That's true. And you ever get ready and you paid $80, now it's like $80, and then you sit down for the fight, and then you go grab your popcorn, and then the first round starts, and then somebody gets knocked out right away. I paid $80 for 6 seconds. I feel cheated. That's not a good fight. But Paul says in the scripture, the devil and I, me and the devil, we had a good fight. He threw some blows at me. I got back up when he thought I was down, and I threw some blows back. I continued to fight the battle. The fight was a good fight. I know I'm not the only person in here that likes a good fight. We need to have spiritual violence. Spiritual violence in the world, man. If anybody comes up to me, remember in the world, they're done. And then the devil comes and tries to steal your kids, and you can't get in prayer. What happened? Come on, somebody, we need to get in the fight. And he tells Timothy, be a partaker. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, but be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. And I came to prophesy that if we're going to continue CWC life, if this church is going to continue to transform young people the way it transformed my life when I was 16 years old, sitting in the third row, came into this church broken, confused, I was lost, and I remember God changing my life in these seats right here. And if we're going to continue to do that, if we're going to continue to move and contend for that, we are going to need partakers in the kingdom of God. How many of you guys want to be partakers that say, let me in the battle? Let me share in discipling people. Let me share in winning souls. Let me share this with you because in my generation, sometimes it's just looked at as the pastor's job. Even people tell me, I love what you're doing, bro, keep doing it. No, you're called to be doing what I'm doing at your work, at your job, in your house. I'm not doing nothing different. I'm up in here, but you could be over there doing what I'm doing. Don't let the enemy despise your youth, young people. You can go and win your school for Jesus. You can go and win Sierra High School for Jesus. You can make an impact. You can make a difference. But we need partakers. You know how good it makes a bishop feel when we lock arms? And we come to church with a testimony instead of a testimony. Come on, somebody. We come to church with a testimony. Bishop, I just want to share with you that word that you shared last week. I internalized it. I took it to my workplace. I took it to Starbucks, and somebody got saved. Somebody got touched. I just want to share with you. I'm partaking in the battle with you. What would happen if we were a body that looked like that. We would be unstoppable. But instead, I see a lot of spectators and not too many participators. Can I preach? I'm with family this morning, so I hope that I'm not going to get tomatoes thrown at me by the end of this sermon. A lot of spectators, not too many participators. A lot of haters, and not too many participators. A lot of haters, elevators, I don't know. I can't tell the difference. It's anointing over gifting, so he's sounding different. Meanwhile, most of these cats out here talent-driven. You don't got the oil, man, and you be counterfeiting. And he says, be a partaker. That's what we need. The second thing we need is pourers. People that will pour their life out for Jesus. And Paul tells Timothy in chapter 4, verse 3, for the time will come, Timothy. He begins to warn Timothy. I'm grateful for the forefathers that have went before us, the spiritual mothers and spiritual fathers that are heeding warning, and they're sharing with us what's to come. He says, Timothy, for the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, they will have itching ears. Tell me that's not the generation I'm living in right now. Say it ain't so. Itching ears. They want their ears to be itched. They don't want their hearts to be turned. They want their ears to be itched. They don't want their hearts to be turned to God. So if you're preaching on sin, I'm going to find a church that justifies my sin. If you're preaching on compromise, I'm going to find a place where I can compromise. And Paul tells Timothy, this is going to begin to happen. I want to warn you, Timothy, this is going to begin to happen. But look what he tells Timothy. He says, but as for you, Timothy, as for you, CWC Life, in a world where there's churches preaching all kinds of false doctrines, as for you, CWC Life, you stand on the word of God. All this stuff is going to go on. There's going to be people that are doing all this. But you, Timothy, you're chosen for something different. You're called for something greater. I believe Paul was evaluating his ministry. And I believe Paul was seeing the potential danger as he's passing the ministry to Timothy. I believe he was seeing the potential danger of Timothy beginning to conform to the world. And he was saying, you, Timothy, you be watchful in all things. Parents, can I preach right now? You be watchful what's going on your television. Be watchful. A television, you know what it does? It tells a vision. Television will tell a vision. What kind of vision are we letting the world tell our children? Be watchful in all things, because the Bible says the eyes are the window to the soul. My daughters only watch Superbook. That's it. I'm watchful because I understand the enemy is lurking. You, Timothy, don't fit in. Don't conform. Don't compromise. Don't dumb down this word, Timothy. He was reminding Timothy, I raised you right, Timothy. And don't conform when this starts to come around. He says, endure afflictions. He says, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and what? Somebody read that for me. Fulfill your ministry. Thank you to the one person that helped me out. Praise God for the one loyal soldier. Fulfill your ministry. Okay, hold on. Does it say fulfill their, like, make sure they fulfill their ministry? Because sometimes we sit in church and we're like, man, that's for them right there. Ooh, I pray she's getting it. Ooh, oh yeah, that should have hit her right in the soul. And he says, you fulfill your ministry. Don't worry about them. Don't worry about this. Don't worry about that. Fulfill your ministry. Focus on what God has called you to do. Focus on the kingdom business that he's given you. Focus on the ministry he's given you. Fulfill your ministry. Remember when they found Jesus? What did he say? PK said, didn't you know? Didn't you know I was going to be here being about my father's business? Or if you're from the streets, about my father's business? Didn't you know I would be about my father's business? He was saying, if you're going to catch me doing anything, it's not going to be gossiping. It's not going to be slandering. It's not going to be talking about the church. It's not going to be watching to see if the church is wearing their masks or not, whoever that is, whatever. It's going to be me focusing on fulfilling my ministry. And if we all can begin to fulfill our ministry individually, we would be a church that the gates of hell would not be able to stand against if you would begin to fulfill your ministry. But we have spectators, not a lot of participants. Oh, that Jesus thing, yeah, man, that's good. He's a good minister. No. Get in the battle, be a partaker, and fulfill your ministry. Because whether you believe it or not, every single one of us have been given a ministry. Every single one of us have been given it. You go to a mechanic shop. You go to Starbucks. I remember working at Starbucks. Pastor Nicole, remember? Me and Celeste worked at Starbucks when Pastor Nicole worked there. And I go into Starbucks making the Starbucks whipped creams. And I be shaking those whipped creams. And I'm like, man, I want to be a missionary and go to Africa. And the Lord's like, yeah, but the people right next to you need Jesus. And the Lord began to tell me, this is your mission field right now. Go and be about it. This is your mission field right now, and do what you've called to do right there where you're at. Amen? Somebody say, fulfill your ministry. This is what we need. We need pourers, people that will pour it out. He says, as for me. Paul's telling Timothy, as for me. Say, I don't know about you. Say, I don't know about you. All right, we're doing good, okay. As for me, Timothy, this is what he says. I love this scripture. My life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. My life has already been poured out as an offering to God. I've given God everything that I can, Timothy, but now it's your time to continue the vision. I've already preached everything I can preach. I've already sung everything I can sing. I've done everything that I can for the Lord. I've poured my life out. And this is what we need now more than ever. People that will pour their life out for Jesus as an offering unto God. He says, the time of my death is near. It's like Bishop saying, I've preached every message I could preach. Come on, somebody. It's like Dez and Michelle and Burl and the team here saying I've sung every song that I can sing. There isn't more left in me. I let God empty me out. Does anybody in this place want to let God empty your life out at the altar of Jesus? And you say, God, you used my time, my talent, my treasure, my gifting. Just pour it all out, because it all belongs to you anyway. Can we get the worship team up here? It's saying, I will take my life, I will pour it out. And Paul says, for I have fought the good fight, and I have finished the race. I have finished the race. I fought the good fight. I poured it out. And so many times, we pour out for so many different things. Right? Am I right? We pour out for so many different things. We pour out for our job 40 hours a week. Nothing wrong with that. We pour out and spend money on our hobbies. We pour out in all these different areas. And sometimes we leave some in the cup that is supposed to be poured out up here. Is anybody catching what I'm saying this morning? Sometimes we hold back. When it comes time to pour it out on God, you remember the alabaster box? You know what's crazy about that story is it's a room full of people that know so much about God. And the person who you would think knows the least about God is pouring everything out at the feet of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The person who you would think knows the least about the way things are supposed to go knows one thing. I have found the man. And when I found the man, I'm going to pour it all out. No, that's too expensive. That's too expensive. Don't waste that. It's not wasted when it's for Jesus. Your 40 hours a week at your job, it's not wasted when it's for Jesus. Stay at home mom, all the times that you're sitting there and you're taking care of your kids and you're tired, it's not wasted when it's for Jesus. Those who have been in ministry and in this church serving, I was so blessed this morning. I was looking at our worship team. I seen Michelle, I seen Burrow, I seen Dez, I seen Joey. And I was like, these are the same worship leaders that were here 9 years ago when I came in and I was sitting there. They're the same ones. They have given their lives for the last 9 years to pour it out so people can experience and encounter God. It's like they said, where else have we to go, Jesus? And I want to encourage you this morning to take your life and pour it out as an offering unto the Lord. I went through a tough season when I was in New York. I went through so much, I wanted to leave right when I got there. It was almost over before it started. Called Bishop, and Bishop loves me, so almost got a flight back right away. Favor ain't fair. No, just kidding. But I remember wanting to leave. But sometimes God will put you in that place where you're in the back of the mountain where nobody can see, and it's you and Him. Am I preaching to anybody? He'll take you out of your comfort zone. I was taken out of my comfort zone, a Cali boy, and I moved to this place where there's so much snow I can't even get into my car. I'm slipping on the snow. I slipped on the snow one day and I cried like if it was a spiritual discouragement. I slipped and I'm like, oh my gosh. And I'm going through it. It's problems, problems, problems. I'm not going to get into it. But I remember saying, I'm out of here. I'm going to go and be a correction officer. I was questioning I knew all along that was called for ministry, but it got so, the battle, you ever get the battle got so hard you forget who you are? Am I preaching to anybody? That the fight gets so hard and you're just taking hits and you're like, maybe I'm not called for this. I remember asking God, maybe we had a good run, God. Maybe I was just used as a young minister when I was 16 and I did some music. And if you want me to just work a job, whatever you want me to do, I'm okay with it. And I remember coming to this place where I'm like, forget it. So I flew out to San Jose. My brother-in-law, he works as a correction officer. I'm gonna go do what he does. Knowing in my heart, like I was like Jonah, running. I pull up, I take the test. When I take the test, I fill out the whole first part. I'm planning my move back from New York because a lot of times we want to run from the pruning process because it hurts. And God's trying to prune us. He's trying to cut dead things off. And you just want to run. But if you don't stay planted, if you don't stay rooted where you're at, you'll never bear fruit because a plant that's not rooted, and if it constantly uproots itself, it won't bear fruit. See, sometimes we want God to do things in our ministry, but we don't want God to do things in us. And God took me to a place where He told me, if you want me to do more things in your ministry, you're going to have to allow me to do more things in you. It got personal. It got personal. I take the test. I fill out the whole first side, PK. I'm pumped. I'm like, yeah, I did good. I feel like I did good. I'm going to move back to Cali where I know it's familiar. They come and collect the test. And as they collect the test, she picked up the paper. There's a whole backside of the test. I didn't flip the page over. There was 300 questions on the other side of the test. I turned in my paper with 300 unanswered questions. How many know I didn't get the job? Come on, somebody. But in the middle of 300 unanswered questions, one question was answered. That I was called for ministry and I couldn't run, I couldn't hide, and God was trying to get a hold of me and do something in me that I couldn't do in myself. And I flew back on the plane knowing, oh man, I'm gonna have to just face this Goliath. I'm gonna just have to face this giant. I'm gonna have to face this pride that's in my heart. I had so many things that God was trying to pull. Can I be vulnerable? Maybe I wouldn't preach like this if I wasn't home, but I'm home today. God had to pull and say, that's not right. But a father corrects his children. If he doesn't correct them, he's an illegitimate child. You're my son, so let me correct you. Before you know it, God brought me through that season, grew me so much. This next season of our chapter, this next chapter has, I don't even explain what God's been doing in our lives, in my marriage, in my children. And I'm thankful for the one-on-one valley encounter, because he's the same God that's the God of the hilltop. The same God that's the God of the mountaintop was the same God that was with me in the valley. The same God that was there when I had money is the same God that's there when I'm broke. The same God that was there when I was doing good is the same God that's there when I need some help. Right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, as we all stand to our feet, let's just give God what we got. Let's give God what we got. Let's lay it down and say, God, I want to pour my life out at the altar of Jesus Christ. If you feel led to make this altar call, don't worry about what people are thinking about you. Don't worry about how you look. If you're a young person and you feel the anointing of God in this place and you feel like God is calling you, if you feel like God is changing your heart right now, young person, I want to make this altar call. We have to stick to the black tape marks right here, but I want to open up this altar for God to go deeper in our lives. If you want to come up, just come up and lift your hands to Jesus. Surrender to the King and lay down your life and pour it out as an offering unto the Lord. Let it get personal. Let it get personal. Let the things of God get personal. Let the Spirit of God begin to cut you again like it used to. Come on, somebody. Let the Spirit of God begin to brand you to where you are never the same ever again. Let the anointing break the yoke of bondage. Listen to me, somebody in here, you came in with chains. Somebody in here, you came in with chains. You came in with bondage. It could be a chain of fear, a chain of anxiety, a chain of lust. It could be a chain of drug addiction, a chain of gambling, whatever it is. You could have whatever chain, but you don't have to leave this morning with those chains. You can walk out today free. The anointing is here and he's breaking the yoke of bondage. Breaking the yoke of bondage. Nothing can stand a chance against the name of Jesus. No bondage, no fear, no anxiety, no depression, no addiction, no suicidal thought. Nothing can stand against the matchless name of Jesus. Can I preach and just say that there's no marriage issue too big to this morning? There's no marriage that God cannot restore in this place. There's no young woman, young man, that God cannot heal your heart and the wounds. There's no unforgiveness that God cannot break down. Stay in this place and surrender. Surrender it to Jesus. Surrender it to the Lord. You made it this morning. You made it to this place this morning for this moment. For this moment. I just came to declare to somebody that there is no weapon that shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against you will be condemned. I came to declare that every weapon that has been rising up against your marriage shall fail. I came to declare that every weapon that has been rising up against your finances shall fail. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. It's not what he does, it's who he is. He will make a way, job or no job. He will make a way where there is no way. My God is able. Mama, dad, praying for your daughter, praying for your son. He is able. I believe we're in this season that God is bringing prodigal sons and daughters home. Somebody needs to catch that in this room. I believe we are in a season where God has been bringing the prodigal. I've been traveling to all these different places, and I have seen a hunger in young people like I have never seen before. God is bringing home lost prodigal sons and daughters back to him. Lay it down. Just a few moments. Come on. Come on, just a few moments. Just a few moments. Come on. Or you completely surrender. Where you completely surrender to the Lord. Come on, hang in there. Stay focused for a few more minutes. Stay focused. If you've been serving the Lord for 30, 40, 50 years, if you've been serving the Lord for a long time, I just want to tell you that there is a fire available to you that you can grab onto, and you can have a refreshing in your spirit. You can be more on fire today than you were 40, 30, 20 years ago. There are dreams that God has placed in some of your hearts that many have let go dormant. Many have let dreams die, but let me tell you right now, Jesus can use you until the very end.
There is power here. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus.
The devil said you weren't going to make it. That was a lie.
Break every chain.
The devil said your marriage wasn't going to make it. That was a lie.
Break every chain.
Come on.
See, there's, and there is power.
Come on, sing it unto the God. Every chain must fall in Jesus'
name.
There
is power in the name of Jesus.
Every lie must be broken in Jesus' name.
Oh, there is power in the name of Jesus.
Every addiction broken in Jesus' name.
Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain.
Every lie and addiction broken in Jesus' mighty name.
Break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus.
Every lie that said your marriage wouldn't survive the storm,
there is power.
We rebuke and bind
in the name of Jesus.
The enemy in Jesus' name.
Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. To break every chain. 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 To break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Say, Zion is his calling. Zion is his calling. Zion is his calling. Zion is his calling.
Last season, the devil literally told you, you are not going to make it. The devil told you, your marriage is not going to make it. The devil told some of you parents, your child's not going to make it. And I came this morning to declare over you that no weapon formed against the people of God shall prosper. I came to declare over the parents that the seed of the righteous shall be saved. I came to declare victory in Jesus' mighty name. God, we rebuke every lie that came from the enemy, every lie that came from the pits of hell. If you're one of our youth in here, young person, and you need freedom from something, just come to this altar. I'm gonna keep calling like my bishop does, because I know God wants to do more. If you need freedom and you're one of the youth in here, you need freedom in your heart and your life. This is your moment to be broken free in Jesus' mighty name. And every marriage that the enemy spoke against, every lie that the enemy whispered, is going to be broken this morning. Just lift your hands for a few more moments. The devil is such a liar. Not a word that he says is true. We're going to expose the enemy today. Not a word that the enemy says is true. There have been words that have been spoken over people, and you have taken it on like a jacket. You wear it like a jacket. And like blind Bartimaeus begging on the side of the road when Jesus healed him and Jesus called him forth, today is the day to throw off that jacket. Throw off that name. Throw off that identity. Throw off that person. Every lie in Jesus' mighty name, fall and bow down before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If you've had unforgiveness in your heart and bitterness and offense in your heart, this is your moment to let it go. You weren't created to carry that. bitterness, unforgiveness for something that happened to you, something that wasn't fair, and you've been holding on to it, and it's been weighing you down spiritually. This is your moment to say, God, it's yours. I forgive and I let go because this is too great of a burden to carry any longer. God, we lay down any offense. We lay down any unforgiveness. We lay down any bitterness. We truly want to be free. God, we're not playing games here. God, we truly want to be free. I believe what God wants to do this morning before we leave this place, I believe God wants to literally do surgery on some hearts. Go into the depths. And let him heal. Let him heal. Matter of fact, let him give you a new one. Let it, if they broke your heart, if they disappointed you, if they let you down, if they left you, if they abandoned you, let God come in and just give you a new heart, because I serve a God that will never leave nor forsake you. I serve a God that doesn't leave his children abandoned. I serve a God. Come on, somebody. Do the work, God. Send us a healing, God. Even those that need healing in body. I love our church, that we are a church that believes in the miracle working power of Jesus Christ. He is still in the miracle working business. He can still set somebody free from cancer. He could still deliver somebody from sickness. He can still do it. I've seen him do it time and time again. And if you've been struggling with fear and anxiety, you don't have to raise your hand, but panic attacks, God's gonna bring it all to peace right now. Lord, bring it all to peace, God. Bring all anxiety to peace. We rebuke anxiety. We rebuke panic attacks. We rebuke fear. Your word says, we read it today, God, that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and a sound mind. Somebody's walking out of these doors today with a sound mind. You haven't had a sound mind for months, and God says today is your day to leave with a sound mind. A sound mind in Jesus. Father God, do the work. Do the work that only you can do. Do the work that only you can do. Come and heal. Jesus.
I don't know about you, but I'm full. Had a good meal. A meal that nourishes, right? A meal that nourishes. Not makes me want to climb in the bed and take a nap, but nourish. I feel nourished, and I appreciate that. I do want to end with what I ended with last service, and Z made mention of it, but I feel that there's some of you here that feel you're in the winter season of your life. And for some reason, the enemy has been able to lie to you and say that it's time to pass the baton. It's not time. It's not time. Those of us that are on the other side of 50, we need to take the stand that Caleb took at the base of that mountain when all of the other inheritance had been handed out, and there were some that had beautiful valleys where they could plant and rivers that were running through it. And Caleb got a rugged mountain as his inheritance. But he stood at the foot of that mountain. I'm speaking to those of us that have listened to the lie of the enemy that said, you know, our time is over. Our time isn't over. We stand at the base of that mountain just like Caleb did when he was 80 years old. And he said, I'm just as strong as I was 40 years ago. When I went into the promised land and I saw what God was going to do, I'm just as strong now as I was then. Some of you need to grab a hold of this, because it's not over. And Caleb knew that on that mountain it would be hard to plant and it would be hard to grow because there was crevices and rocks. But he still stood at the base of that mountain and he looked at that mountain. And when the inheritance was being released, he said, "Give me my mountain. Give me my mountain." And some, I feel like some of us that are on, you know, the older side of life, we need to hear that this morning. And we need to get that kind of grit. And we need to realize that it's not over. There's still people to touch. There's still people to heal. There's still a word in your heart that needs to be released. You are powerful until the moment God takes you home. So hold on to that. Amen. He's not finished with us yet. And the anointing continues to break the yoke. Thank you. Thank you for that word, Z. Timely, powerful. Yep, hurt a little bit. That's how it's supposed to be, right? Amen. Why don't you stand to your feet? The doors are open. There's goodies for the kids at each door. Kim is over there. She's got some goodies for our kids. And so, God, until we meet again, until you gather us together again, we recognize that you are a God that gives us mountains. You are a God that prepares us and anoints us for things that are bigger than us, my God. So help us to see what you're doing as we leave this place and partake and co-labor with you for the tasks that are at hand. We love you today, God. And we're grateful to serve you with our lives. In Christ's name, God bless you. Amen.